Paul tells Timothy and us to do our best to present ourselves to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly handles the word of truth. We'll take a look at that truth and how to handle it next on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Join us. All our lives we spend studying for this test, studying for that job, studying for this or that or the other thing. That's what we do. But when it comes to our relationship with Christ, oftentimes we leave off the study of God's Word, thinking it'll just happen by osmosis. Welcome to Abounding Grace with our teacher and pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. If you'll join us for the next few minutes, we'll do just that. Study God's Word that we might show ourselves approved. A workman who does not need to be ashamed. With this edition of Abounding Grace, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
The Apostle Paul was facing a lot of opposition from whom he calls super apostles in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And in 2 Corinthians 4, he's addressing the subject of Christian ministry in light of all the attacks he was facing. Because what they were saying primarily about Paul was that he was not effective enough in his ministry. He was evangelistically defective. He was culturally and contextually lacking because so many had rejected his gospel. He wasn't being palatable enough for the people. So this preacher was under attack, and as I said, he got very sarcastic in chapter 11, and he calls them super apostles. He says, "For I consider that I am not at all inferior to the super apostles, even though I'm untrained in speech, yet I am not in knowledge." Now, he had already dealt with this in 1 Corinthians. He said, "When I came, I didn't come with excellence of speech declaring to you the testimony of God." In fact, he purposely avoided doing all that, being trained in all the great oratory rhetorical principles of the day so as to think that by doing that, he would win the more. Remember, this was the time of the great orator Cicero. This is that one statement in De Orator of that time. And let me read this. This was popular stuff at the time in studying how to be a good orator. "One of the weapons of oratory is the stamping of the foot that should be used only in the most vehement efforts at their commencement or conclusion. But all depends on the countenance, and even in that the eyes bear sovereign sway." One of the real, and I believe this is really what the apostle was focusing upon. One of the real prominent principles of rhetoric is that the truth is to be ambivalent. In other words, undecided. So it was thought, your speech needs to sound wise and heady to be complex. It needs to be theoretical so that an element of the mysterious would draw in the hearer and that the people would just hang on your words and cling to mysteries that you hold. So there was this sense of secret knowledge that only the elite, only the great speakers and orators and the philosophers had. And this was just common. The Gnostics were all over the realm at this time. Gnosis, knowledge. And the great key to holding the listener was to make them think you had a great mystery by your great wisdom that you could unlock for the people. So, you can picture what began to happen in the church, right? Paul says, and you know this passage in 2 Corinthians 11, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness whose end will be according to their works." What happens when you got Satan and his ministers transforming themselves into ministers of Christ using all the great drama and oratory techniques of the day? What do you think is going to happen? Well, the people are going to get very enamored with personalities, with the men, with the man. Their preaching had real draw. They were drawing away great converts after themselves. People became attracted to the personalities. The uniqueness of it all really turned into no more than good acting, right? Because in all this, people were captivated by the oratory drama couched with Christian language. Oh, this is Christian. And yet, nothing was being made clear. The clear word of God was not being brought to bear on their lives. By the way, does any of this sound familiar today? Think about the Apostle Paul. Nothing's new, my friends. Since I've received this ministry, this glorious ministry of the Spirit resting in people's hearts, I don't have to lose heart because it seems like what I'm doing is ineffective. And these others are gaining so many converts. I don't have to do any of that. We hear a lot today about ministry burnout, weariness, and I hear this. What is it from? Well, it's not really the labor. I mean, any pastor loves to study the Word, spend time studying the Word and growing in these things. Oftentimes, and this is what I suspect, that burnout happens, losing heart happens, is because a man enters the ministry with an agenda. He thinks what it should be, and he begins to build with his own materials. And then, because he has unrealistic expectations, when things don't go well, he gets depressed. Paul says, I don't lose heart. I don't tire. Listen to verse 4, 2 Corinthians 4. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. Now, this could mean we've kept our lives pure. But that's not the flow of what he's saying when he says we've renounced these hidden things of shame. What is he saying? He's saying this. We who have been given, and I highlight this again, this ministry, this glorious ministry of the Holy Spirit, we've renounced all these feelings of shame that well up in us about the offense of the gospel. Well, that's exactly the meaning of Romans 1. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God to save all those who believe. Paul was constantly telling Timothy, don't be ashamed. Paul explains, for you, the real tendency in our hearts, and you know, every pastor goes through this with this struggle. I understand what he's saying. The real tendency of our hearts is to have shame and hardship well up within us, struggle to preach a message that we know is offensive. Paul says, I've renounced this, these feelings of shame of when it comes to what I have to do. That means that the apostle made a conscious choice in his preaching to be direct, hard-hitting, and not wavering in presenting Jesus as he is, a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. Remember, he poured out his heart in Romans 15, saying, I know that I've been bold to you on some points, but understand that I do this to minister the gospel to you. So what we have here, Paul says, I'm bold. I know I'm hard hitting. I know, but I do this because I'm ministering ultimately the good news to you. So what we have here is a renouncing of these feelings to soft pedal the word of God, to have many people come in and like him. You ever wonder why Jesus is not much of an offense to anyone today? Some people don't preach the gospel well enough, as one pastor said, for the non-elect to reject it. Hell is out, sin is out, and the sense of worship is just in coming before Jesus that he's just a good fellow to help you along with your hard journeys, you know? He's a moral coach, a good coach. No. Essentially, what Paul is saying to the church in Corinth is open your eyes. And I say this to the radio listeners today. Open your eyes and see what so many are doing all around us. See what Satan has infiltrated the church with. Paul says it right here, that many his ministers transformed themselves into ministers of righteousness. Paul says, contrary to all that, we are not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully. We are consciously not doing that. This is interesting. Interesting verse here. Important verse in verse 2. Because the Bible is constantly coming to us and saying, don't be deceived. Test the spirits. And oftentimes the pressure is that if you don't have a great drama team or a great praise band or a great whatever, the characterization is, well, that's dead, that's lifeless, that's not a spirit-filled church, that's stuffy, hogwash. We're so enamored with charisma today, magnetic personality, because we're Hollywoodized, I guess. The danger looms over us that we can be so easily turned to that which has a form of godliness and denies its power. Paul says this here. This word for crafty literally means being capable of anything. So he says, we've renounced these hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness. And then he combines this with literally adulterating the word of God. So then these super apostles, these super pastors are capable of anything in their ministries as they adulterate the word of God. And Paul says, I renounce those hidden tendencies in my heart. In other words, I'm not coming in adulterating the word of God, doing whatever it takes to advance my own agenda. How refreshing, isn't it? I speak to me as a pastor. Can you imagine how refreshing it would be if a preacher would have no agendas, but preach the unadulterated word of God? That they would say, I have one goal in my whole ministry to you. I love you so much that I'm going to be clear. I'm going to preach Christ with conviction. I'm going to preach him to your conscience. I'm going to exposit the word of God verse by verse. I'm going to bring the word of God to bear on your conscience, and I'm going to leave the results to the Holy Spirit. Can you imagine, my friends, the effects this would have in our country, in Canada, and over the world if every single preacher committed himself to this grand cause? I want you to reflect upon that. I'm going to leave that with you today because I think it's so important. Paul's going to say, simplistic as it may sound, our goal is not to preach ourselves. Too often the sense is left that we're preaching ourselves. No, Paul says, we preach Christ. Foolishness to the world, a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to the Jewish world. And yet his message, the power of God to save those who believe. Let us, dear friends, ensure that we are hearing this Christ preached.
Growing in grace so that we don't groan in disgrace. This has been Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. We spend just a few minutes a day together, but it's our hope and prayer that those few minutes help you grow in your understanding of God's great love for you and I in His Son, Jesus Christ. As always, questions, comments, and prayer requests are more than welcome. We'd love to dialogue with you, especially as it relates to our union in Christ. You can call us 360-318-0429. That's 360-318-0429. If you would like to write to us, the address is 8650 Benson Road. We're here in Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. And again, as always, you're welcome to contact us by phone, especially if you would like directions to the church. If you're planning on a visit, we'd love to see you. We meet at 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. on the Lord's Day at 8650 Benson Road here in Linden. Directions, again, call 360-318-0429. Or better yet, visit our website. Learn a bit more about us here at United Reformed Church in Linden and Abounding Grace, who we are and what we believe. LindenURC.com. Again, LindenURC.com. We even have a map, directions to the church, if you'd like to join us. LindenURC.com or 360-318-0429. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.